We're going to talk about faith and works. So we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For you have been delivered by grace through trusting, and even this is not your accomplishment, but God's gift. So let's break down a little bit of the words. The word delivered is sesomenoi in Greek, and it means delivered, as it says here, or saved, or I like some of these definitions, delivered out of danger into safety, rescued from the penalty and power of sin. I really like that last one. So what is the penalty of sin? Well, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for what one earns from sin is what? Death. So eternal separation from God in hell is the penalty of sin. But what is the power of sin? Why did the Holy Spirit use two words there? Well, I believe he meant to show us that we are delivered from the eternal penalty of sin, but there's also an ongoing power of sin that Satan attempts to have over you through the temptations he sends all of us that we have to stand against. So by faith, by you have been delivered, meaning you have been set free from the penalty, eternal, and the ongoing power of sin. Everybody follow that? And how by trusting, in David Stern's translation, trusting is the Greek word pisteos. It could also be translated belief, confidence, and it's faith in most other translations. And understand that David Stern uses the word trust instead of faith, I think for a very good reason. It's because faith has become a theological word. And Rabbi Shaul is here is talking about saving or delivering faith, but he calls it trust. And the reason this has become a word that confuses people, keeps them in darkness, I believe, because there are religious people, people of faith, meaning they belong to a faith, like Episcopalianism or Catholicism or Presbyterianism or any particular church or religious organization. So they're people of faith. But faith in those things is not necessarily something that will save you. Faith in those organizations or even faith in what they teach. And as opposed to that, we can all understand the word trust, right? Because we exercise trust many times every day. You can trust in lots of things. You can trust in a friend, right? You can trust in the government, if you're foolish. You can trust in money, again, if you're foolish. You can trust in doctors. You can trust in science. Here's one. Everybody who's here today, except those who walked, trusted in the brakes on their car this morning, right? You got in that car, and you knew that when you got to a red light, you would step on those brakes, and the car would slow down. So you trust in the brakes. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here this morning. Right? You wouldn't trust in it. You wouldn't be. And how many of you have trusted in an airline pilot? Well, that's a big step of trust. Let me tell you, I always pray when I get on a plane to trust in that. And I'm sure almost all of you, I'm sure, have trusted in God because you've prayed for him to help you get through a test at school or for healing or for provision. So you've all trusted in some way, right? But you know what? That's not saving trust. That's not saving trust. Another translation of pisteo would be belief, what you believe in, your faith. And in our culture, belief has become an equivalent of faith or trust. But in English, belief has much less power than in the ancient Greek in which the Bible is written. So believe, to most of us, has come to mean that you acknowledge something exists, or believe in what an organization stands for, what they teach. The Amplified Classic Version, I believe, does a great job when it translates that Greek word pisteos. Let me read to you John chapter 14, verse 1 in the Amplified Version. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, or agitated. You believe in, adhere to, and trust in, and rely on God. Believe in, and adhere to, and trust in, and rely also on me. So the Amplified put that long phrase, believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on, in place of have faith in, or believe in. You see the difference, because it's a whole different thing to say, I believe. Let me give you an example. This is what we call a mental assent, if you believe something exists. Like, I know many people, I've witnessed to many people who believe that Yeshua was God come as a man. They believe he lived a sinless life. They believe he died a sacrificial death. They believe he rose from the grave. But that's all mental assent to who Yeshua is and what he did. Yeah, I believe he did that. If you are not trusting in, relying on, or adhering, sticking close to him, you're just mentally assenting to his existence and his deeds. Does everybody see that? It's so important to see that. So pisteos does not mean mental assent. Here's another example. I mentally assent to facts that George Washington lived. Can you all agree with me on that? George Washington lived, right? Was he a great president? Yes. Do we owe him much for our freedoms? Yes. But is anybody here trusting in, relying on, and adhering to George Washington right now? If you are, I'm going to take you out to the mental hospital right away, right? Right? Are you trusting him to help you in this life or with what happens when you die? No. See the difference there? So what is saving or delivering or rescuing pisteo, trust or faith? It's trusting in Yeshua's sacrifice of his life on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, to make atonement, thereby delivering you from the penalty of sin. That's only part of it. And trusting in him to guide you through the rest of your life as you submit to him as Lord, to continue to deliver you from the ongoing power of sin. Because if you're not being guided by him, what are you going to be under the power of? The power of sin, right? Because that's the definition of sin. Not doing what he's telling you to do. That's sin. So, if you've never put your trust in Yeshua to do that, this is so important. I'm going to take a moment here and just pray for you right now. Okay? And if you have done that, just pray along with me for anybody here or who's listening or watching on the internet that would not have done this. And if you pray with me, you will be delivered, saved from the power and the penalty of sin, and that deliverance will be given to you as a free gift. But there's only one thing you have to do. What happens if somebody brings you a gift? What do you have to do? You have to receive it. You have to open the door. You have to take it from them. And you have to open it sometimes. But that's what you have to do. All you have to do is receive it by trusting in it. So let's pray. And you pray along with me if you've never done this. Lord, I confess I have broken your laws and deserve the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation from you in hell. I understand that I can't pay the price to avoid that penalty. So I thank you for coming to earth as a man, living a sinless life, and giving your life as an atoning sacrifice to pay the penalty for my sin. Please count Yeshua's sacrifice to pay the penalty for my sin. I commit myself to obeying your law and your will and to you being my Lord, my boss. Please put your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, in me to lead me to obey your law and your will for my life so that I can overcome the ongoing power of sin and the temptations of the enemy. And now I thank you for your gift, for delivering and rescuing me from that penalty and power of sin, and I receive it by an act of my will. I take that gift into my life, and I thank you, Father, for it, and I will treasure it and cherish it all of my life in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. If you did that for the first time today, please come and either see me or come up and talk to somebody in our prayer team at the end of the service. So let's move on now. Let's look at the next verse in Ephesians to gain a biblical understanding of the other side. That was about faith. Everybody see that? That was what faith really is, saving faith. Ephesians 2, chapter 9. You are not delivered by your own actions, therefore no one should boast. And most translations say, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And the word works there is a translation of the Greek word ergios, and it means works, actions, or deeds. So let's look at another verse that uses this, Romans 3:28. Therefore, we hold the view that a person comes to be considered righteous by God on the ground of trusting, which has nothing to do with legalistic observance of Torah commands. And again, most translations say, not by deeds or works of the law. And the word law there is the Greek word nomu. And so this is a phrase that Paul is using, ergon nomu, works of the law. And righteous, let's just make clear on what that means. It means justified. It means regarded as right by God, right with God. Therefore, it means having your sins forgiven, washed away, delivered from the penalty and power of sin. So Paul's saying you don't gain right standing with God by deeds or works of the law. Now, understand that he's saying you don't get that by doing things the law tells you to do, the law that he wrote. But that doesn't get you to have right standing with God. And Stern, so you just understand, it translates it this way because the Jewish New Testament, which we're using here, its purpose is to reach Jewish people with the good news. And so it's a particular phrase that speaks to Jewish people. But I'm not going to really use Stern's translation much here. Other translations say works of the law. So what are works of the law? They are deeds done in obedience to God's law, right? So they're obedience to God's law. There could be everything from loving your neighbor as yourself to keeping kosher to keeping the appointed times to not coveting. I mean, there's 613 of them, right? So the thing to understand here is if you do these things because of an incorrect understanding that these things will give you right standing with God, that they will cause you to be saved, delivered from sin, then these things are works of the law that are of no value to God. God sees them as valueless. Now, Orthodox Jewish people attempt to obey every one of the 613 commands in the Tanakh. And what we call Rabbinic Judaism, non-Messianic Judaism, teaches incorrectly that obedience to all these commands is one of three things that make a person right with God. The other two being study of the scriptures and reciting the traditional prayers at the right times, all the times, which, by the way, include prayers of repentance. So that's in there. Now, doesn't that sound nice? Sounds like a great religion, right? If I had an assignment, think up a good religion. That would be a great religion, right? Do the things that God commands, study his word, and pray. Great, right? But what's the problem? Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your lives, for it is the blood that makes atonement because of the life. Atonement means the covering of sin, the forgiving of sin. So without the shedding of blood, what is impossible? Atonement. Can't be happening. And we know that there is no more blood sacrifice because the temple has been destroyed for 2,000 years. There's no Levitical priesthood to make the sacrifices. So this rabbinic Jewish teaching is not biblically correct. Everybody see that? But you can be made right with God in those three ways. So this is one of the understandings of works of the law. But on the other hand, deeds or works done in obedience to God's law and inspired by the Holy Spirit are still deeds, works that God wants you to do, right? He gave us the law so we would obey it. Why would he give it if we weren't supposed to obey it? But, a lot of buts here this morning, but they will still not get you saved. The Holy Spirit can inspire you to do things that God commands. How many things have been inspired by the Holy Spirit to do something God commands? Of course, love your neighbor as yourself, right? But they will still not get you saved because we understand that you're saved by trusting in Yeshua's atoning sacrifice, not by any deeds or works. Everybody see that? So let me give you an example. I use that verse, love your neighbor as yourself, Leviticus 19:18. I think I've got that up there. Yes, love your neighbor as yourself. It's a Torah command. It's a good thing if it is done as directed by the Holy Spirit. But obeying this command, even as led by the Spirit, will not save you. No matter how loving you are, it will not save you. Now, what about Torah commands that have nothing to do with showing love or helping people? For instance, keeping the Shabbat or one of the other Moedim, the appointed times, the holidays, or keeping kosher. These are works of the law. And here's the thing to understand. They can be good in God's sight if they are inspired by the Holy Spirit, or of no value if they are not inspired by the Holy Spirit, or if you're doing them because you think this is how you get saved. See the difference there? Okay. Now, misunderstanding these verses has led to some teaching to both Jewish and Gentile believers that obedience to the Jewish laws that don't benefit anybody, like keeping Shabbat or the Moedim or kosher, are not good. They're legalistic because they do not lead to salvation and they don't help other people. So why do them, even though God commanded us to do them? They're commands of God, and they're commands to Israel, and we who are Jewish are to obey them. And if you are Gentile, you're welcome to obey them. But if you, as a Jew or a Gentile, are directed to keep them by the Holy Spirit, they don't lead to salvation, but God still sees them as good. Everybody see that? That would be good. But they're not good if you're doing them wrongly thinking they'll get you saved. And or if you're doing them without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Everybody follow that? So now we know what works of the law are. Okay, everybody got that? But now we're going to look at another adjective about works. Dead works. Dead works. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says this: "Therefore, leaving behind the initial lessons about the Messiah, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of turning from works that lead to death and trusting God." And in other translations, it's the word nekron is dead, lifeless, and it's dead works. Leaving behind the foundation of turning from dead works. So, first thing, everybody can probably see, dead works are certainly works that don't lead to salvation, right? Because no works lead to salvation, no matter what they are. Only trusting in Yeshua's sacrifice leads to salvation. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, key verse. I've also already sort of mentioned it, but all, let's read it together. All who are led, I don't hear anybody, by God, all who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. So whatever you are led to do by God's Spirit is what kind of a work? It's a good work. It's a good work. Dead works are deeds not inspired by the Holy Spirit. They can be either things commanded in the Torah or just things that are not commanded in the Torah, just anything that you do. No matter how, on the other hand, no matter how good they are, how many people they help, how much good seems to be being done, even if they're inspired by love, they can be dead if you're not led to do them by the Holy Spirit, because he's the one in charge. And they are dead works if you do them wrongly trusting they will get you saved. Okay, let me give an example of those. Those who worked in our nation to develop our welfare system, they certainly thought they were doing a good work, right? A work of love. Help people who are in need. It's actually a very biblical thing to do. God tells us over and over again, help the poor and the orphan and the widow. But what do we have today? Many studies have shown that a welfare system keeps people in poverty. Because if they get a part-time job, they subtract it from what they get. So they don't want to get a part-time job. So it seemed like a good, loving thing to do, but I don't believe the Holy Spirit directed it, and it ended up being a dead work. History actually tells us that prior to the implementation of government welfare in the 1930s, the body of Messiah cared for the needy, and the care was directed by the Holy Spirit. And actually what happened was the Great Depression. There were so many needy that people felt like the government had to take it over. But what happens when the government takes things over? Does the Holy Spirit work through that? Usually not. Sometimes it can, but usually not. So some have taken these verses to mean, and this is very important to understand, that works or deeds, they're not a positive thing. They're not a good thing. And this incorrect understanding is supported by misinterpreting Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, which I have on the next slide again, because the works lead to death. So it seems, and this is incorrectly to some people, that the new covenant is saying that works are not important. Just trusting, just faith, that's all that's important. And this negative understanding about works of the law or dead works has led to a few ungodly attitudes or beliefs among some people. So let me tell you two of them. The first is called hyperfaith, okay? And hyperfaith teaches that what's important is that you believe the correct doctrine, that you believe everything correctly. Doing good, helping people, showing God's love, that's not really important. It's just dead works. Trying to please God with your works rather than by faith. So doing good things is not something that needs to be high priority to you. So this is, if you've ever met people like this, they're so caught up in studying the Bible and making sure they've got it. They got every jot and tittle correct of their doctrine, but they're not doing anything to help people. They're not showing the love of God anywhere. So that's hyper faith. Second, this negative understanding of works has led to what's called antinomianism, anti-lawism. You don't need to obey God's laws because doing so is a dead work. God's law is not important. So hyper faith and antinomianism are also closely connected with the church cutting itself off from its Jewish roots, because non-Messianic Jewish people who are not led by the Spirit are indeed caught up in dead works and works of the law. So you, as a follower of the Messiah, need to keep away from anything that's Jewish people would do, because they're dead works. So Jewish practice, holiday traditions must be kept out of the church. And if you participate in those things, it's a sign you're not saved. Does that sound familiar? That's what many of you have probably encountered when you said you started going to a Messianic congregation, right? Oh, you're falling back under doing dead works. Right. So, of course, James tells us something completely different, right? James chapter 2 and 17, and you all know this, so let's say it together. Thus, faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions or works, is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead. So none of those doctrines can be right. So let's now also look at the next verse in Ephesians 2. So Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is the great statement of how you're saved by faith, right? But it's amazing what the next verse says. Because everybody always accuses Paul of pushing faith and ignoring works, right? Listen to the next verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are of God's making, created in union with Messiah Yeshua, for a life of good actions or works already prepared by God for us to do. So here, the word good is agathios. It's good. And in other translations, it's not good actions, but you are prepared, created in union with Messiah for a life of good works already prepared for God for us to do. So do you see how it seems like Rabbi Shaul is contradicting the previous verse, right? First he said, by faith you're saved and trusting and not of works. And then he says what? Radically opposite. Can you see how astonishing this is? Radically opposite. You were created for good works. For a life of good works, good actions. But he's not contradicting himself. What he's saying is that there are three kinds of works. And we just looked at two of them so far. Works of the law and dead works. But now we find that Paul is talking about something called good works. Ergos athion. Good works. So what are good works? Well, Yeshua gave, I believe, the greatest statement on this that there could be. It's been a watchword, a foundational statement for me in my entire life. Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they may see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. And here, the good things you do is kala erga, good works. Good works, so that you may see, they may see the good works you do and praise God in heaven. And the word kala is very interesting because it has some very interesting meanings in the Greek. It's beautiful, honorable, noble, but listen to this, as an outward sign of the inward good and seen to be so. So the good works here are supposed to be able to be seen, but of course that's exactly what Yeshua is saying. Let your light shine that other people would see the good works. So what do we have here between these two verses? What were you created for? To do good, beautiful, noble, honorable, worthy things which others will see and consider good. And what will happen when they see them and consider them good? It will cause them to do what? Praise your Father in heaven. And the Greek word there is doxasoson, which also means glorify. Think highly of, esteem your Father in heaven, honor your Father in heaven. So what does this mean? It means that because of the good works, deeds or actions you do, others will turn to God. See him as glorious, which he is, see him as worthy of honor, and that will cause them to turn to him for salvation. And these deeds, these actions, are called good by God. But, big but, they don't get you saved either. Don't think that. It's still by trusting him. Now, Rabbi Shaul tells us there are rewards for those who do good works. So let me show you the rewards. He taught the Corinthians. He laid a biblical spiritual foundation for the Corinthians. He talks about his teaching them as good work. And then he refers to what others are going to build on that foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Each one's works will be shown for what it is. The day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's works. The day referred to here is judgment day. And verse 14, if the work someone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. So good works, in this case, Holy Spirit-inspired biblical teaching, discipline, loving, will receive a reward in the day of judgment. Then back to Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they may see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. Now notice that this verse says your good works are to glorify God. Who are they not to glorify? You, right? And Yeshua goes on to clarify this in the next chapter in Matthew, chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to parade your acts of tzedakah or charity in front of people in order to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Interesting. Tzedakah is Hebrew for charitable giving or deeds. So what this is saying is, and get this, because this is very important, if you take credit for the good things you do, that credit will be your reward. God will not reward you for them. You've got your reward. So if you take credit for them, they're not good works anymore. They're dead works. But if you proclaim what you did as being inspired and enabled by God, people who are the beneficiaries of those good works or observers of those good works, what will they do? They will glorify God rather than you and turn to him, and then he will reward you. So there's a great saying that I just love, and it's, I hope you all get it. It says this: you're not saved by good works, other people are. Right? Is that true? So what are some other examples of good works? Well, speaking about married women, Rabbi Shaul says this, but you can apply it to men too. In 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 10, speaking of a woman, and is known for her good deeds as one who has reared her children well, showed hospitality, washed the feet of God's people, helped those in trouble, and engaged in all kinds of good work. So they apply to fathers and men also. And then in 1 Timothy 6:18, Paul writes, charge them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and ready to share. Generous and sharing are good works. So let's go back to that foundational verse to see another way to understand good works or good deeds. Romans 8:14, all who are led by God's spirits are God's children or sons. Whatever you are led by God's Spirit to do is what kind of work? By definition, it is a good work. It may not be obvious to you who will benefit from it. It may not seem like you're helping a lot of people. But if the Holy Spirit leads you to do it, and it's God's will for you to do it, it is therefore a good work or deed or action. But of course, it doesn't get you saved, right? That's by trusting. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Because there's three things in here that I just want to make sure everybody gets. We read it through, but we didn't focus on them. Ephesians chapter 2, 10. For we are of God's making, created in union with the Messiah, for a life of good actions already prepared by God for us to do. So first, we are of God's making. Others, translations say, his workmanship. This is, if you think about it for a moment, an astounding, astounding statement. Everybody see how astounding it is? You were created by God to do good things. You got that? Now, here's an interesting thought I had. That's why you've been left here on earth after you got saved rather than being taken up to heaven. because you're left here to do good works. Otherwise, God would just take you up to heaven. Okay, you're saved, you're done, come to heaven. You see that? God, we know, if we just look around us, is glorified. He's held in high esteem. He's honored before people. But the beauty, the enormity, the power, the intricacy of his creation, right? The stars declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? But God can only be glorified for his love, his wisdom, his joy, his kindness, his patience, his justice by people. There's no way for him to reveal that unless it's through people. Those things must be communicated to people by people. And that's your and my job. We are to communicate God's love, his wisdom, his provision, his faithfulness, all of those things. We are the only way it gets communicated on the earth. And it gets communicated when you let your light shine, do good deeds, and give God the credit. Second thing in that verse, it says, in union with Messiah. Other translations just say, in Messiah. David Stern adds union in there. What's this saying? You cannot do good works unless you are connected in Messiah. Only then can you do good actions or deeds or things that God sees as good. And I like to think of this as in John chapter 15, Yeshua spoke about this. Very familiar. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who stay united with me and I with them are the ones who bear much fruit. Because apart from me, I love this, you can't do a thing. Meaning you can't bear fruit, which is anything good in God's eyes, without being united with Yeshua. Right? So how do you stay united with the Messiah? Well, it's not rocket science. We said it over and over again. Read his word, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, obey it, pray, listen for his voice, worship, fellowship, and witness. Did I miss anything? That's how you stay connected to the Messiah. It's very simple. Third thing. This is amazing. The good works in that verse, the third thing it says, they were already prepared by God for you to do. Now, what does that mean? Predestined is the Greek word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. Predestined. So when I prayed about this, what I saw was that God has already set the stage for you to do those good things. Meaning he's made the circumstances right to enable you to do them. He's made available the resources that you need, the helpers you need, the skill you need, and the knowledge you need, and they are your destiny to do. So, to fulfill our destiny, remember I've used that phrase, taking your promised land, accomplishing everything God intends you to accomplish, and becoming everything God intends you to be. Well, the first part of that, accomplishing everything God intends you to accomplish, that's fulfilling your destiny, and that's what it means to do the good things God has already prepared for you to do. They're sitting there waiting. Nobody else can do them. Only you can do those things that God has prepared for you to do. And he's equipped you. You've got everything you need to do those things. You just don't know it. But that's what God has called you to do. So let me, I know this was a kind of a deep teaching. Let me just summarize the thing about the three kinds of works in case anybody's mind is scrambled by this. There's three kinds. Works of the law, dead works, and good works. Everybody got that? Okay. Dead works are deeds, any deeds not directed by the Holy Spirit, no matter how beneficial they appear, or deeds that are inspired by the incorrect understanding that they'll get us saved. Okay, that's dead works. Works of the law are deeds done in obedience to God's law. These can be good works if inspired by the Holy Spirit, or they can be dead works if not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Or, again, if you do them thing, this is going to get you saved. Good works are things you were created by God to do. Things God prepared, set the stage for. Things that God set aside resources for you to do. Deeds directed by the Holy Spirit. deeds that cause those who see them, either benefit from them or watch you do them, to glorify God. Deeds that you have to credit to God, not to yourself. Deeds built on a spiritual foundation, scriptural foundation, and they include in caring for your family, helping the needy, caring for God's people, showing hospitality, being kind, being generous. These good deeds will be rewarded by God in the judgment day or in this life. And finally, your good deeds do not get you saved, but they get other people saved. Can we all say that together? Good deeds will not get me saved, but they'll get other people saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for salvation, that it is by your grace that is given freely by trusting you. Thank you that it's a free gift and that you suffered so much to obtain it for us. And so I just pray for all who are hearing this that you remove any false understanding that we need to do any work to receive the free gift of salvation, free gift of deliverance from the penalty of sin. And thank you also, Lord, that by obedience, by following the leading of your Holy Spirit, we will have the power over ongoing temptations to sin. And that's the only way we'll have the power over those ongoing temptations to sin. Because if we're not following your Spirit, by definition, it is sin. Keep us, Lord, from dead works, things not inspired by your Spirit. Help us to have live, living faith, faith that inspires to good works. Help us to do good works of the law. Obey your laws as led by your Spirit. And Lord, thank you that you have already created and prepared things for us to do, good things, good works. And Lord, when we do those things, help us, Lord, to give you the credit as inspiring and enabling us. And help us to do things that will indeed cause others to glorify you, to praise you, and draw near to you. Thank you that you've set the stage. You've prepared it beforehand. Show us how to tap into the resources that you've already set aside, the knowledge you've already set aside, the skills you've already set aside, so that we can do what you called us to do. And Lord, show us the things you have destined for us and enable us to take our promised land by fulfilling that destiny that you have for each one of us. That when our time comes and the end is near, Father, we'll be able to look back and say, looks like by the power of the Holy Spirit, you did through me all that you intended to do through me. We pray that in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Amen.